So let's begin this morning in John 16:7. And I'm reading from the ESV for just this one passage. Yeah, sorry, Mike. I'm reading from the ESV specifically because they translate it "to your advantage" instead of "advocate." So there's several words it could translate into. But I'll just read it. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." Remember, Jesus is saying this before he goes away, before he dies, raises again, and then ascends into heaven. He's saying and preparing his disciples for this moment, saying, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Holy Spirit is a friend. The Holy Spirit is a helper. And the Holy Spirit is here to be to your advantage. He is here to be to your advantage. I want you to imagine this week that I told you I was going to send you an assistant. And this assistant was the best at everything you do. Yeah, right? He's the best at everything you can. Don't we all wish that sometimes we had a second me running around? Like, not me specifically, but you know? Like, a clone running around that could do all of our stuff. Think about it, moms. Moms are someone to change the diapers. There's someone to make the meals. There's someone to do all the planning. Someone to do all of that, right? Wouldn't you take that? A free nanny for a whole week? Oh, yeah. No one is turning that away. But in any aspect of our life, at work, oh, yeah, you go to work. I'm going to do whatever I want, right? Yeah, you go to work. Or help me get more work done. I can duplicate the work. And in fact, maybe because that person's an expert, they're going to do even better than I did, right? At home, someone to do all the stuff you don't want to do. I don't want to clean today. I don't want to file stuff away. I don't want to do my taxes. Okay, you do all of that. None of us would turn that down, I don't believe. I don't think any of us would turn that down. This would be the deal of a lifetime, to send you a help that is eager, willing, and able to help. This is the Holy Spirit. So this morning, and I've been asking myself this question throughout the month, and we've been talking about it a lot in youth group as our seniors depart. I think it's really important for them to be equipped and understand the role of the Spirit in their lives. What I ask myself this question is, am I taking advantage of the help offered by the Spirit? I know it's there. Am I taking advantage of the help offered by the Holy Spirit? Think about this past week, month, morning so far. Eric sent a text out yesterday that simply asked, what has been to your advantage this last week? Your phone? Maybe some sort of other device, right? Your car? Imagine, whose life would have been more difficult this week without a car, right? Yeah, it's to your advantage. It's a help. Think of any random day this week. And we all know we have multiple things that are to our advantage. It made this day better and that day better. The question we ask ourselves this morning is, are we utilizing the gift of the Spirit as the helper that has been given to us? We have an advantage, who is the Holy Spirit in our life, and are we accessing that help? Jesus wasn't confused when he said that the Holy Spirit is our helper and has come to be to our advantage. Oftentimes we can think, well, you know, I have the Holy Spirit. I understand he came into my life and he entered my being and he dwells inside me the moment that I turned my life to Christ. But, you know, he kind of does his own thing while I do my own thing. Occasionally our paths cross, especially when a convicting word is mentioned on Sunday morning. But beyond that, maybe not. Jesus doesn't send him as an occasional help. He sends him as an active help there at every moment and every turn in our lives. An active helper. To the point that he is, and it was better for Jesus to leave. He said, I need to leave so I can send him to you, so that you can have a helper to be to your advantage. If we aren't actively being led daily in all things by the Spirit, we aren't accessing the help offered by God himself. You know, sometimes I'll wait around to do a project till I have help, right? There's some projects I won't do alone. I'll just wait till I have help. God himself is availing himself to us at every moment. You have the help now. He's there. And Jesus is saying, I gave him to you so that you can access this help. So that this help is there, a present. He's ready. He's wanting to be a part of your life. The Christian life is a spirit-led life. We all understand this. We get this. It cannot be lived without the activity and daily leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not a man-pushed life, but a spirit-led life. Some are confused, thinking, well, I sit here and I listen, whether it's on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and I listen to what, you know, the pastor says, and now it's my Christian duty to go and see that I apply that to my life this week. And that is the Christian life. Some are confused, thinking that is all it is. That's not all it is. Because if it's just that, then all you can do is, well, Eric last week said I'm restored and refreshed by the Holy Spirit. So, I'm going to go to the spa this week, right? It's my Christian duty. I'm going to go to the spa and be restored and refreshed this week. Well, we know it's a little deeper than that. It's not a bad idea. I'm not saying it's not a bad idea. Sure, refresh yourself. But this is what a man-led life looks like when my life is just guided by the words of just a pastor on Sunday or someone I heard on YouTube, but not actively with the Holy Spirit daily. It is true that the Lord has given us community to help us live out our walk, and community is essential. But he's given us the Holy Spirit to be to our advantage, an active helper in every moment. I don't follow Jesus because of external motivators. I am internally motivated by the Spirit. He takes me by the hand and he leads me. He takes me by the hand and he leads me. This is a picture of the not only intimacy but the personal nature that the Spirit wants with you. That's the kind of relationship he wants with you. Not to where I approach him once a week or maybe in times of deep, deep crisis, but I am taken by the hand and he's leading me along. Yeah. The Spirit is so crucial because we quickly find out after deciding to follow Jesus that the things he's asking us to do are quite impossible. Right? Right? You mean you want me to love that guy? I don't know who I'm pointing to. So, sorry, that general area. You mean you want me in front of all of my coworkers and my peers be a shining example of Christ and reflect you? How am I supposed to do that? You mean you want me on a high school campus to share my faith where our culture is actively pushing against that? How am I supposed to do all these things? How am I supposed to be holy as you are holy? How am I supposed to be made into Christ's image? Well, you already know the answer, right? You're right there. All these things are impossible for us to accomplish, and if we try them, and you may have tried, you just get frustrated, right? Has anybody ever tried to do a job or a task without the right tools, right? Yeah, yeah. One of the things I enjoy about my adult life is that I can just go buy a tool or borrow a tool, and I'm not going to waste my time using the wrong tool, right? As a kid, when I didn't have anything, I was over there tinkering and just trying to pull stuff apart and all this stuff. As I get older, I have these men around me that see me doing that, and they're like, why don't you just go get the right tool? Why don't you just do that? Or when you play a prank on somebody, doesn't know the job as well as you do, tell them to go do the task. Don't give them any of the tools to do it. They're over there wasting their time. Here's the thing. Jesus never comes to us and asks us to do something without also saying this. He's saying, and hey, because you said yes, because you're obediently following me, I'm going to complete this work for you and through you.
He's not doing it for us. He's doing his work. We're to let him do it in us.
Yes. Yeah, that could be a clarification, yes. So that's why, no, that's why I added the obedient following of him. He's leading us into this. But on my own, I'm helpless. These things just don't happen on my own. I need the Spirit actively working in my life to get this done. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to 24. It says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ come again." God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. He's called you to a life which he intends to lead you into. Does this make sense? He doesn't just set you blindly on a path and say, go that way, you're on your own now. No, I'm leading you into this. I'm guiding you into this. I'm taking you by the hand, and I am going to be the one who makes this happen, because we know this, because God is given the glory for all these things. Amen? And so everything that happens in our life, I may be submitting to him as I should, but when I submit to him, what I'm doing is I'm allowing him to be the one that takes control, and I allow his power into my life. It's like me taking his hand. Okay, take me somewhere. Guide me somewhere. So who makes all this happen? The Spirit working, walking us through sanctification. The Spirit making me holy and blameless. The Spirit's transforming my thinking. The Spirit helping me to pray as I ought. The Spirit producing love and good fruits in my life. The Spirit helping me to even understand Scripture as I should. It's not on my own efforts, but by the Holy Spirit as I submit and obey his leading. Amen? As I submit to him. I think that submission is the clarification there. We do play a role in it. We do play a role in it. He's not just going to come up and just force you to do something. We know that's not love, and that's not how the Lord works. The Holy Spirit isn't just our fast pass into heaven. The Holy Spirit is here to help and to be to your advantage. I want to ask you this. How foolish or silly do we look when we try to do something that we have no idea what we're doing? Right? How silly or foolish do we look when we try to do something we have no idea what we're doing? This is me with my vehicle. I don't work on my vehicles anymore. Maybe changing the oil, but that's about as far as my expertise and grand knowledge goes. That's it. Doing something you have no business doing is one thing, but imagine this. Imagine you're doing something that you don't know how to do. You know you have no business doing. You don't have the tools. You don't have the ability. And you're over here doing it, but meanwhile, right next to you, you have a friend who has the ability, the tools, the knowledge, and is also eager to help. Right? That's just a whole nother level of foolishness. Especially that friend's like, hey, I can do this. I can help you through this. I can even guide you. Like, no, I got it. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do it, right? I'm going to do it. As an example, I know nothing about making cakes. Absolutely nothing. Oh, I can go buy a box from the store, and I can make a cake. But my sister Brittany can make these wonderful Food Network, they almost look fake type cakes. It's like, wait a second, is that a display or is that a cake? Can I eat this? How foolish would I look if I'm like, okay, I'm stressing out on a birthday or some upcoming event and I'm trying to put a cake together. I try again and again and again and again and again. And I'm just so frustrated. She comes to me like, what are you doing? Like, I'm making a cake. So why? Why are you making a cake? At the very least, you should have asked me to help you. We could have planned a night. I would have brought all my stuff and my ingredients. We could have put this whole thing together, right? She's just standing over there, still ready, willing, but a little baffled as to why I wouldn't accept her help. And I, at this point, look foolish because I have a helper, but have refused or ignored the help. We all have things in our life that we need help with. And what the Lord is showing us is invite the helper into those situations. Invite the helper in. You have a helper. Now, think about it this way. We all like it when we know a guy, right? We all like it when we know a guy. Yeah. When you run into an issue or a situation in your life, and you're like, ah, no problem, because I know a guy. I know a guy. I have a confidence in this thing, not because I know what I'm doing, but because I know a guy, right? This is the advantage that we have as Christians. One of the first things I do when I need something done and I don't know how to do it myself is I start asking around, hey, do we know a guy? Do we know someone that can do this? I don't even go to Google first. I just start looking around. Hey, do we know somebody that we trust that can do this? Hey, this toilet isn't working. Do we know a guy? I chipped my tooth. Who do I go to? I did that a year ago. I broke a window. Hey, do we know a guy? Yeah. When you know a guy, you have a confidence in life that you wouldn't otherwise have. Amen? When you know a guy, you have a confidence in life that you wouldn't otherwise have. With the Holy Spirit, we have that confidence about our whole life because he is the guy for it all. He's the guy for it all. Yeah, he's telling me to do things that seem either impossible or intimidating, have some sort of challenge to them, but I know a guy. I know a guy. It takes all the pressure off of your shoulders and places it on the shoulders that can carry the burden and accomplish the task. Amen? Even the stuff that I broke. Yeah, that's the beautiful thing. I know I broke it. And I'm like, hey, but I know a guy. I'm good. I got this. In fact, the Lord this last week, as I stumbled over my words a little bit when presenting the gospel to these students, I said, oh, man, whatever. And the Lord quickly reminded me, no, it's not about your weakness, it's about my strength. It's not about your failure, it's about my success. It's not about that you can't stand up to the task, it's that I have already conquered it. I am way ahead of you. It's about the guy that we know. It's about the helper, the advocate. It's about the advantage that we have in the friend who is who is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Takes all the pressure off. There are burdens on your shoulders that don't belong there. You've put them there. You keep them there. But they don't belong there. They belong on the shoulders of the one who can handle the burden. So Jesus comes, look, hey, it's easy to follow me. It's easy. All this burden, you don't need it. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Come to me. I'll give you freedom from those things. You ever feel like you're way over your head in a situation? I'm going to keep hammering this point home for a little bit. I'm just bam, bam, bam. Mainly, I really want the students to be paying attention. And they are. They're all really, look at Carson's leaning in over there, guys. He's on the edge of his seat right now. Someone take a picture. Carson. There's these moments when I feel way over my head, and then I bring someone in who knows what they're doing, and there's relief. Or sometimes there's even moments where I think a task is way bigger, way more challenging than it is, and a friend approaches and say, no, just go for it. Like, it gives me a confidence that I didn't have before. The situation didn't change, only that I had someone who knew what they were doing that said, yeah, you're on the right track, go for it. Just do it. You may be saying to yourself, how am I going to get out of this mess? One of the big burdens I know that's on all of our hearts is we all are burdened for the unsaved. And we know that there are multiple people in our lives who are unsaved that don't know the freedom that is in Christ, haven't encountered it. We want to see them saved. And God comes and says, yeah, you are going to partner with me to do my work on this earth. You are going to help build my kingdom. It is me who is in pursuit of them. It is me who is pulling them in to myself. We understand this cool dynamic that we have as we partner with God. Yeah, he's asking us to go out. He's asking us to do work. But we give all glory to him. He's the one doing it. So yeah, I'm like, man, how am I going to share my faith with these people in my life that I really eagerly want to share my faith with? I'm trusting in the Lord that as I am obedient in those relationships, He's going to do something. He's going to do something. How am I going to overcome this obstacle, this addiction, this struggle? How am I going to succeed? I'm going to remember that I know a guy who is willing, who is capable, who is able, and I'm going to ask him to help to my advantage. I think that oftentimes we just get distracted. We get distracted and just don't realize what is there to be to our advantage. We just get so busy and we just go, 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 go. And we don't realize, oh man, this whole time I've been putting in all of this effort. Frustrated that I'm spinning my wheels. But I need to slow down. Remember, I know a guy. I have a helper. And he's going to be to my advantage. When you start connecting these dots, and start thinking about it more and more, you start realizing this, hey, there's literally no area in my life where I'm not made better with the Holy Spirit. There's no area in my life where I am not made better with the Holy Spirit. In my marriage, I'm made better. Moments when I ask the Lord, Lord, how can I help my spouse? How can I guide my spouse? How can I love my spouse? Right? It's easy to love. But even though those moments, we've been married for coming up on 6 years. And those moments like, okay, what can I do now? How can I? No, yes, Austin. Exactly. That's why I'm saying it's just an example. I'm saying that you're better in every area. I stopped right there, but I'm made better in my work. In my work, I'm made better with the Holy Spirit. In my friendships, I'm made better with the Holy Spirit. I'm a better parent. That's all parents know. Half of parenting is being like, wait, I don't know how to do this. Okay, I need to call somebody up that knows what they're doing, right? And I'm asking around, okay, what do I do? Is this an emergency? What's going on? No. I'm a better friend. I'm a better pastor. I'm better even at mundane things like cleaning or casual conversation. Amen. Yeah, amen. I'm better creatively and intellectually with the Holy Spirit. I'm literally made better in every area. I mean, I'm sure someone can relate to this where you lose something and eventually you're like, Lord, where the heck did I put this thing? Like, I'm better at finding things with the Holy Spirit. Right? There's literally no task, big or small, that I'm not made better with the Holy Spirit in my life, that I'm not made better with the Helper, that I'm not made better and don't have an advantage with the Holy Spirit. Why would we ignore that? A few weeks ago, Carson, I had him digging some trenches at the thrift store. I am digging some trenches at the thrift store, and these trenches were, honestly, they're trenches that I didn't even want to dig because, one, most of it was bending down really low to the ground because of where it was, you know, and it was just better to have a short person do it. Shorter person do it. Sorry, Carson. Sorry. And he started digging these trenches, maybe like, 100 feet of trench. Well, you know, not terrible, but all along the way, there's all these roots. The whole way, these big roots, small roots. He has to go over them or under them. He's like, these roots are getting in my way, and all he has is the shovel, so he starts hacking at the roots as he's going along. But at the end of the project, he walks into the back of the thrift store, and he finds some tree loppers. He's like, wait a second. Huh? You know, they can cut the branches and stuff. Pruning shears, you know, they cut branches. They can cut it. He found a tool that could cut through the roots. Loppers, yeah. Yeah, I said loppers, right? Yeah. Yeah, they're loppers. Yeah, they're just, you know, they can cut branches, you know, we get this. Yeah, I didn't put in my notes how to explain what it is. It's not there, okay? And he brings these out to me. He's like, Stephen, these have been back there the whole time. I could have finished in like half the time. I was hacking through these roots and I could have just cut through them all and it would have been no problem. But yeah, you know, it's funny now. But oftentimes life is like that. Life is like that. You're trying to hack at the problems the best you can with the improper tool on your own strength when you have someone that's eager and willing to help. And you just do it no problem. Amen? You have that help. The Holy Spirit is the helper that is to my advantage. It makes every situation better. It removes the need for me to rely on myself. And here's the good news. The Holy Spirit wants to be more involved in your life. He wants to be more involved in your life. To whatever degree that you are in relationship with the Holy Spirit, He wants to be more. More. So this message is for all of us. He's saying, yeah, we have a pretty good, pretty stable relationship, but we can go further. And I want to go further. I want to be in a more intimate spot with you. I want to be in a spot of more trust with you. I want to be more of a friend to you. He wants to go further. It's not that he was just to my advantage once, a while ago, that one time, but he wants to be to your advantage daily, continually, in every situation. There's no situation in your life where the Holy Spirit goes, ah, maybe I'll let you handle this. No, he's there, he's ready. He's like, hey, can I be a part of this? Can I help you with this? Let's do this. He's right there. The Holy Spirit is here to help and is the friend we need. So we seek the Holy Spirit. And seeking him is as easy as playing hide-and-go-seek with a child. Play hide-and-go-seek with kids before? You know, at a certain age, it's just like, this is too easy. Okay, I got to actually pretend I don't see them. I see them. I got to pretend I don't see them. Look at Luke 11, 10 through 13. For everyone who asks, receives. For everyone who seeks, finds. Wait, that's all I have to do? I just have to initiate the seeking and I'm going to find? That's it? Okay. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is invite Him into our life. Good fathers give their kids what they need. And what we need is the Holy Spirit, so ask. Just ask. We have a helper who has all the ability. He has all the tools and the eagerness to be used to your advantage. All we have to do is ask. I think I've hammered this point like 15 times. He's there to be to our advantage. There are, of course, many ways the Holy Spirit helps us. And we've been going through a lot of those ways in the last, 6-8 weeks. You know, he comforts us, he intercedes for us in prayer, he teaches us, he empowers us, he restores us, all these things. But Jesus, when he's explained to disciples, hey, I'm about to go, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, the helper, who is going to be to your advantage. A couple verses before and a couple verses after, kind of in the same discourse, he says these two things. So John 15:26 and John 16:13. He says these things, but I will send the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify about me. And then John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. One of the advantages your life has because of the Holy Spirit is that you are anchored to reality. We are anchored to reality. We are anchored to truth. This changes everything because those who have a grasp on what is true, those who have a grasp on what is real and are anchored to it, can now live in such a way that we're not fooled, we're not swayed, and we're not swindled. Right? Because we're stuck and attached to reality. And because we have the helper who leads us in truth, we can live with a confidence that others cannot. He comes to be a helper to your advantage. One of the main advantages that you have in your life is that you are connected to truth. You're connected to reality, the way things really are. Looking at our current world, truth is harder and harder to find just by the means of this world, right? We have access to more information than we have ever had. But there are so many opinions on what is and isn't true. Every single event that happens across the world or our nation has two narratives, if not three or four, attached to them. What is true? Everyone is shouting out their opinions on what is and isn't truth, and everyone is telling you that you should and shouldn't do what you should and shouldn't do based on their set of facts. This makes it really confusing. This makes it really difficult to understand, like, man, what am I supposed to do? What is the right path? What is the right direction? Navigating life without being anchored to truth results in a lack of confidence. And as you dance from one thing to another, it results in a lack of confidence, causing you to dance from one thing to another because you're not sure. Is this the right thing? It's not feeling like it's working out. Okay, is this the right thing? I don't know. It's looking a little shaky. Okay, is this? And you're dancing around. But we have an advantage because we know the guy who knows what is true. It's because his name is actually called the Spirit of Truth. It's in his nature. He is truth and can lead us to truth. So we walk in confidence because the Spirit has come to guide us in what is true. So we can say, I don't know what to do next, but I have a friend who does. He knows what's true and guides us in that. He reveals to us the truth about people. They are loved by God and made in His image and created to be a part of family. This is why I know I can walk up to someone and shower them with love. Because I know who you are. Because the Spirit has told me what's true about you. He hasn't just reiterated the facts that I see. He's helped me to see the reality of who you are and who you're created to be. This is the advantage that we have. He reveals the truth about the schemes of this world. That they're empty and deceiving and meant to ensnare us and not worth our time lest we hand over our freedom. So you're saying, I don't know if this is a good thing or not. I'm not sure about this. Let me get the Spirit in on this. And he's going to say, no, that isn't a good thing. That is not of me. That is not helpful. That is not going to be productive to your life. So he comes over and he says, I know that you're kind of feeling like you're pushing away from this right now. But no, this is what's good for your life, in fact. In fact, you need more of this. He reveals us the truth about the schemes of this world. He reveals the truth about the future. That the world will continue down its destructive path, but Jesus reigns. And we have been sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life to live forever in His kingdom. Amen? Amen? It's one of, Revelation, the book of Revelation is a gift to us. Not just because, he says he's going to tell us about the future, but instead he gives us this imagery so we know how we should posture ourselves against these future things. He's kind of making us aware of, hey, these things are coming down the pike. And I want you to be aware of what's going on and see them for how they really are. You see this thing? Yeah, that's the beast. I'm using this language. I'm using this imagery. So you understand how to posture yourself against the schemes of this world. So when the Antichrist comes in whatever form, again throughout the century, and then again in the end, say, you know how to posture yourself against this. You know what's right. Scripture gives us an eye into all the kingdoms of the world from the very beginning and says, you know how this turns out. Every single time, kingdoms end up destroying themselves, whether from the outside pressure or inside pressure. So you know where to put your hope, not there, but over here, in me. Amen? He reveals truth so that we can live confidently. He reveals truth so that we can live confidently and not having to live with the burdens of confusion and chaos. Man, this one thing that he leads us in truth is so to your advantage. This is like, this changes everything for creation. You go from not being connected to truth to now having a friend who is truth. That changes the whole ball game for you. Your life is now made different. The greatest friends and helpers in life are those who have a firm grasp on truth and an anchor to reality. This is why it's also important to surround yourself with people who are also being led by the Spirit, who are also taking advantage of the help of the Spirit. Being surrounded by people who have a firm grasp on what is true, so that the Spirit from multiple angles can be pumping truth into your life. The more and more truth and reality are the way that Satan attacks us the most, because our decisions are based on our perceived reality, right? And if your perceived reality is what is in fact true, then go for it. You're wandering around like, man, why is the world the way it is? Well, they're just acting on their perceived reality. It's wrong. It's not based in truth. It helps us to explain why things are the way they are. So what a friend we have that is the Holy Spirit. What an advantage we have to be led and guided by truth. Not by an instruction manual, because those things are frustrating every time. But by a friend who takes me by the hand and leads me. The Spirit guides us in what is true in such a way that we don't just retain a head knowledge of it. He's not here just to pump facts into your mind. But more so that we can taste it, that we can possess it, that we can understand the power of His truth in our hearts, walking in it daily, basking in its warmth, and being filled by it, being filled by Him. He guides us so that there is a confidence in us that is sure to the point that it becomes a part of the very fiber of our being. He doesn't just want you to have a list of facts in your head. It's good to know it's true, but He wants you to taste it. He wants you to know that, man, this is the reality. I don't know if I'm explaining that very well. I'm finding it hard for the words. That might be part of the point. He wants it to be in you. Here's the next point. I'm going to wrap it up soon. Don't worry. He reveals truth to us in such a way that there is conviction, repentance, and greater life. Good friends have hard conversations Good friends have hard conversations that are life-giving. Good friends have hard conversations that are life-giving. And if you're in your actual Bible, you realize that I skipped a chunk of scripture here going to those truth passages. But now I'm going to be going back to those. And that's John 16, 8 through 9. So we started with verse 7. We jumped, I don't know, down to verse 10 or 13. Now we're going back to 8 through 9. He says, when He comes, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in Me. But He's talking about the world here, but we know that He also convicts His children. Hebrews 12, 7. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? By a father who loves them. This conviction is actually a revelation of truth in our lives. This is what it means by the world's sin and of God's judgment. It's like I'm comparing, you know, when you have like, I don't know, a plate or a dish for a long time, and you clean it and clean it, and after years, though, you just become accustomed, this is what it looks like clean. You compare it to a brand new one, you're like, whoa, it was really worn down. What is going on? And so as we look at ourselves, we're like, I mean, I feel fine, I seem fine. But no. He says, no, look at the Lord's righteousness, and now I'm holding that up in comparison to all of this that is in you. And this is the revelation of truth that He's giving to us through conviction, saying, no, this is, you see this? You see what's going on? You see how they're different? The Holy Spirit comes to us and makes us aware of the filth we are living in, the area where fruit isn't being produced, makes us aware of the mud we are messing with, shows us how sin has damaged us, has ruined us, and has tainted us, points out the flawed thinking we have structured our life around. It's important to remember, though, what this conviction really is. It's an invitation to come closer to God. Conviction is an invitation to come closer to God and a clear direction as to how to draw near to Him. He points out these things in your life that, compared to God's righteousness, miss the mark. They are sin. Say, I'm pointing this out to you, not so that you can feel bad about yourself and wallow and heap the shame on you, but so that I can pull you closer to the Father. Amen? He is inviting us out of bondage and into the freedom and life-giving embrace of the Father. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 7:10. Verse 10, for the kind of sorrow God wants for us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. He's here to draw you closer to Himself. God desires that we would be met with truth, even truth that opposes our own ideas of what is true, so that we can recognize and turn away from the lies that are in our life and turn to Him. The Helper guides us in truth so that in every way we might draw nearer to God. In every way we will live in confidence. In every way we will seek what is good. In every way we will reflect Christ. In every way we will be light that reveals truth in the midst of darkness. This is the advantage that we have access to. So take advantage of the help being offered to you by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the worship team to jump up. We have a helper who is eager. I started this off by asking, how would you feel if I sent you an assistant for the week? Expert in all things. Could help you in whatever you wanted. And there was this kind of glow that popped on everyone's faces. Oh yeah, that sounds nice. I already have a list. Jesus has sent you that helper. And if you know Jesus as Lord, He is present in your life right now, eager to lead you. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, it's as easy as turning to Him, putting your faith and trust in Him, and receiving the helper. This is an aspect of the gift of salvation that we receive. If we are taking advantage of the access we have to the gift that is the Holy Spirit, then we are on a daily basis drawing nearer and nearer to Him. And these moments are compounding and bringing more and more life into our life. We experience more and more the goodness of God. When we are taking advantage of the help offered by the Helper, we are continually being pointed to God. Continually being pointed to life, continually being pointed to goodness, to salvation, to truth, and prospering. Amen? And real quick before I actually wrap up, you know, I was going to read it, but I won't. I'll just summarize it. You know, in Acts 3, there's this story of Peter and John, and they're walking through the city, and there's a beggar there, you know, asking for change. And he says, you know, things of this world I don't have, but what I do have, I'll give you. Get up and walk. I think about this a lot in aspect to the first church, because we have so many things in our life that are to our advantage, right? I got phones, I got cars, I have access to all the information I need. Food's just down the street in every direction, right? But the church exploded in this time. Freedom was made known on a massive scale. And we're living in the continued just ripple of that. It's continuing to spread and spread and spread throughout the generations. This is all they had. Peter and John came to this realization, look, I'll give to you what I have found to be to my advantage. I'll give you the Spirit. And it says that when he got up and walked, he gave glory to God, and all around gave glory to God, and this ushered into a sermon that Peter gave, and many came to salvation in those moments. I think we have to come to a point where we're, of course, surrounded by all the technologies and wonders of our modern world, where we come to a point that, man, the one advantage that I actually need, and that is actually to my true benefit for eternity, is the Spirit. Amen? I think because we have so much around us, we can get distracted. And we just, things get out of focus. And we come to this point where we're not actually realizing, man, yeah, I love the technology I have. I love my phone. You know, I enjoy these things. And if I was out without them, man, my life would look a lot different. But compare that statement to, what does my life look like without the Holy Spirit in my life? Am I being continually pointed and directed and pushed toward the Lord? And this, if anything, for all of us, myself included, should spark a, I want that. I want that more and more and more. Whether I've walked with the Lord for decades or I'm new to this whole thing, I want more of that. I want what is to my advantage. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So let's pray. So Father, we ask for your help and we ask for your Spirit in our lives, more and more and more overflowing. We thank you for sending a friend. We thank you for sending who is to our advantage. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit that we might, in every area, walk in a confidence that we wouldn't have otherwise had because we know a guy. We know a guy who is truth and is looking to point us closer and closer to you. And that's all I want, Father. I want to be close to you. Thank you, Father. I ask for your Spirit this week to guide me in all things. Amen.